Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and guildies. Welcome to a special edition of The Gamesman, recorded on Thursday, October 8th, 2009. The Gamesmen are here to play roles. I am Lifelike, assuming the role of your host. With me today is a very special guest, the executive producer of Dead Space Extraction, Steve Papoutsis.
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent. Glad you could take some time with us today. The game was released the 28th of September, correct?
Yeah, well, it actually hit stores on September 29th in North America.
It's fantastic. I'm really enjoying it.
Thank you.
After playing it, it impressed me so much that I was hungry to know more, and I know that if I want to know more, I know our listeners are going to.
Cool.
So, to begin, let's just establish a timeline. When did development of the original Dead Space begin?
The original Dead Space?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so that was about... Geez, I guess it's almost 3 years ago now when we kind of first came up with the concept and started trying to get the team put together. So that was a good while ago when we first started playing around with that idea. I think a lot of people know originally, you know, we were putting it together on the original Xbox. So that's how long ago it was.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So the thing that I really want to know, as using that as a baseline, is at what point in the cycle was an installment discussed for the Nintendo Wii?
Yeah, so we were about, halfway through the project, and we had been working on all of the transmedia pieces, the comic, the animated feature, obviously the 360, PS3, and PC versions of the game, and we kind of had a talk, and we were talking about, you know, wouldn't it be great to be able to tell more of the story? We have so much story to tell. What if we did something unique and original on the Nintendo Wii? And that's kind of where it started. So at that point, I kind of went off and started thinking about what the story could be, what the gameplay would be like, while still working on the original game. So started percolating sort of what we would call our pre-production while finishing up the original. And then, you know, that's how it all started.
So it was sort of a collaborative pitch idea?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty informal conversation. It was just kind of went down exactly the way I described it. It was just me and... previous executive producer just talking about different things and, you know, hey, you want to do something on the Wii? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to do something on the Wii. I'd love to do something original and, you know, that really stood out and added to the fiction rather than just porting the game at that point. So that's kind of how we got the idea for Extraction.
Excellent. So working from that, was there any concern about a mature franchise coming to a family-friendly platform on which sales of third-party core titles have struggled?
Yeah, that's definitely been something that, you know, people ask a lot about and are interested to know about. I think from, you know, there's different parts of a game company, right? There's the development team that builds the software and they need to be passionate about, you know, the software and have a vision and drive to build it. And then we partner with various other groups like our marketing and sales teams. And it definitely came up many times like, hey, is a mature thing the right thing for the Wii? But, you know, as passionate people and as visceral games, we really wanted to kind of test the waters and get something out there. And we're hoping that people, you know, support and play and pick up Extraction and prove that there is, in fact, you know, there are, in fact, people out there that really do want mature games like Extraction on the Wii. And with that support, we hope to be able to bring, you know, more stuff out on the platform.
Well, I do think if there are hardcore Wii owners that have complained with, you know, not too many hardcore experiences, there's no excuse for them to not go pick this up at this point.
Thank you.
Okay, so Steve, you were one of the two senior producers on the original Dead Space, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so how did your role change becoming executive producer of Extraction?
Well, I've been making games for almost 15 years now. And, you know, one of the things, you know, as anybody, you know, ultimately I wanted to have and drive my own project. I've had big pieces of projects throughout my career. The biggest change was kind of, you know, being given the keys, so to speak, to the car and just being the guy that needed to come up with the vision and, you know, kind of assemble the team and, you know, work with the team to create the game. So the biggest change was going from, say, on the original game where I was really focused on the horror moments of that game and some of the other gameplay related things like the way that the enemies pathed and a variety of other things on that. Now I'm looking at a bigger picture. I'm looking at, okay, how does that connect with, you know, the story and how do we put together the mechanics and what are the visuals going to look like and what's the gameplay camera going to be and who are the actors? I mean, I was, you know, heavily involved in every part of it from, you know, coming up with the story to identifying the cast to the, you know, to, you know, putting the game in the box and tuning it at the end. You know, I worked with the team to do all those things. I wouldn't have been able to do anything without the team. But as an executive producer, you're basically like the visionary and spokesman for the product. And we partner with lots of different parts of the organization. And generally speaking, the executive producer is the person that's working with the marketing team to kind of figure out the way we're going to market the game and working with the PR team to do stuff like this and do interviews and get out there and go to events and stuff. So that was the biggest change, going from, you know, senior producer where I did get to be exposed and work with those various elements that I described, but now it's like fully my responsibility to manage and handle those relationships and also kind of be out there driving, you know, the vision and idea behind the game.
Probably a challenge, but a fun challenge.
It was absolutely awesome.
All right. Eurocom assisted in the development of Extraction. What exactly was their role?
So what we did was, you know, we took key people from the original Dead Space team and put together kind of a strike team, a core team that I worked with here. And Eurocom, they wound up kind of assembling the pieces. They took you know, the vision that we had and worked with our creative director and design team and brought that to life. So, you know, personally, I spent, you know, 7 months out at Eurocom living with those guys, building the game, and they did a great job. They had a motion capture facility on site, which was fantastic, which allowed us to kind of get in there and really work on the performances and deliver what we hope is a very, you know, realistic type of cinematic experience on the Wii. And so they were, you know, they were in there working on everything, and they were a great bunch of guys, and I think they did a great job.
So I didn't actually have this as a question, but this makes me think. Is this the way that you see game development going, as in maybe not so much subcontracting, but collaborative efforts?
I think it's definitely something that, that, you know, the studios around the world are going to be looking at. You know, with, you know, the cost of how much it takes to make one of these games, if you can find a solid partner like we did in this case, it makes a lot of business sense, because you know, you've got kind of a satellite team, so to speak, where you're kind of coming up with that core vision, the story, the core mechanics, and then you're partnering with a group that's got a lot of horsepower and can kind of put that into effect. And what that did was it allowed us to have other projects that we're working on at Visceral right now, which was great. So, you know, we didn't have to derail all, you know, our other plans. We actually were able to add something new into, you know, the studio, which was great. So I think it definitely worked great for us. You know, the relationship was strong, and I think the product came out really good, and I'm very proud of it and happy with it. And yeah, I think it's an interesting model, and potentially other people are already doing it. So yeah, I think it's something people are going to look at.
Can you take us through what a typical workday was like for you at Visceral in the absolute middle of the Extraction development cycle?
Wow.
Quickly.
Yeah, real quick. You know, on the best days, it would be, you know, coming into the office, having a new build, popping it in, playing, you know, the latest chapter of the game, grabbing the guys, going into a room, talking about what we wanted to adjust. We have, you know, at the studio, we've got what we call our dailies room, where we'll go in there, we'll play the game, you know, with the team, and we'll just start creating lists of things that we need to adjust or tune or tweak or remove, or, you know, call out bugs and whatnot. And, you know, just really going through the software, you know, playing the game a lot, and, you know, kind of defining what needed to change and improve with the game. That's like a really great day. And in the middle of all that, you know, we might have, you know, a variety of meetings where we're talking about a very specific design feature, or might be meeting with, you know, Melissa and the PR team to figure out, you know, what next event we want to take the game to and show it to people, or with our marketing team to figure out how we want to position the game, or, you know, what maybe what the manual is going to look like, or the cover, or what some of the advertisements might look like. All that stuff kind of rolls into one day, and it's a lot of different stuff to do, but, you know, my favorite part of it is actually sitting there playing the game with the team and just enjoying what we're making and figuring out how to improve that experience.
It's no secret that the Wii has a bit less in the horsepower department than the PC and the two current-gen consoles. Dead Space Extraction, though, boasts some of the best graphical fidelity on the platform. So could you talk a little bit about the technical issues that the team overcame due to the hardware limitations?
Well, thanks for the nice compliment regarding the visuals.
You're welcome.
I think, you know, it's kind of a, I mean, yeah, the Wii's a different platform, but one of the things that I've, you know, really trying to get out to people is that, you know, it's just like anything you're going to do. If you're going to build a house, you got to have a blueprint. You got to have a plan. You don't just start going in there and start cobbling stuff together. And part of, you know, the big approach that we took and we tend to do with our games is really establishing the core of what the game needs to be and what we call our focal points, basically the things that we want to hang our hat on with the product. And what we did was we sat down and we said, hey, we've got Dead Space. It's got fantastic atmosphere, really awesome visuals, awesome sound, and really kick-ass, you know, strategic dismemberment. So we had those as our focal points. And what that allowed us to do was, at every step of the way, reinforce what we were making and reinforce the decisions we needed to make in order to deliver those visuals you're talking about. Okay. So with the goal of, you know, fantastic visuals in mind, that helped kind of meld together and guide the way that the design needed to work and how we kind of came up with what I've been calling a guided first-person experience. That approach has allowed us to deliver on all of those elements that I talked about, whereas I think other developers tend to get caught up in either porting an existing game and then going, shoot, how are we going to get all this to work? You know, we've kind of got this mishmash, you know, oh, well, we're going to have to sacrifice here, we're going to have to sacrifice there. Whereas with our approach, building a brand new game from the ground up for the platform, we really were able to make those decisions based around our focal points and deliver on those things. So I think it's not so much about the hardware, it's about the development team and the strategy they want to take going in. Like I said, with building a house, if you started just cobbling together a bunch of, you know, 2x4s and trying to make a frame and you didn't really have a plan, that house probably wouldn't be too solid. It might last for a little while, but you know what? When you decided, hey, I want to add a kitchen on, maybe you didn't run plumbing there, so now you're not going to be able to do that. I don't know if that example makes sense, but I really feel that, you know, having that clarity of vision, having those focal points really helped guide us to maximizing, you know, what the capabilities of the platform are, and hopefully people, when they see the game, go, wow, you know what, the Wii is really capable of doing some cool stuff.
And you kind of beat me to my next question, which was, were the assets taken from Dead Space and scaled down, or built from the ground up?
Well, we did have, you know, an entire game, Dead Space, completed. So, you know, one of the important things with the franchise in general, and it's always been the case, is real space, real terror. And it wouldn't make sense for us to go off and re-engineer the entire Ishimura, because we'd already kind of mapped it out in Dead Space. So we had a great foundation to start from as far as, you know, the geometry goes and kind of the layout of these areas. But we didn't just take that and put it on the platform. The team worked tirelessly to recreate those setups and those environments on the platform. Again, making sure that we're maximizing every pixel on screen by building those things, you know, optimally for the platform.
I have to say that I'm impressed at the discernible emotion on the faces of the four main characters. How much more difficult is quality facial animation on, you know, a platform that is most of the time in lower polygon situations?
Well, another excellent question. I think that also goes into kind of the planning and the way that you want to approach it. As, you know, as I said, you know, it was very important for us to have a very cinematic experience. So we knew that we wanted to put a lot into the characters' faces and into their models. And so, again, with that in mind, we were able to, you know, really, you know, get a lot out of the system. When we went and did the facial capture, we had 30 markers on each actor's face as we were recording their voiceover lines. So those are the real performances that were done in the studio that you're seeing in the game. And now, that doesn't mean you just put these little dots on people's faces and you come out with that quality that you see. What that meant was we then worked with the team, with the team of animators, and they did a kick-ass job of taking that data, making it look believable, cleaning it up, and getting it onto the Wii. And that was, you know, a testament to the skilled artists and animators that we had on the project, you know, their ability to get that performance. But, you know, ultimately, as I said, you got to have a plan going in. You got to know that we want to impress with the visuals and the fidelity on the characters. And by doing that, we were able to achieve that with the help and hard work of the artists and animators, as I said.
Now, this probably falls somewhere along the same lines as the last two questions, but your team really found a great way to marry on-rails gameplay with cutscenes, essentially making each part almost equal. How does the continuous real-time storytelling aspect of Extraction change in the way in which the script is written?
Well, oddly enough, we wrote the whole story and script. I mean, when I was coming up with that and working with the team, we did that like you would do a movie. We just sat down and said, okay, you know, what's the three-act structure? How is the game? What's the core story of the game? You know, what are the motivations of these characters? Who's Nathan McNeil? Who's Gabe Weller? What's their attitude like? You know, what's their favorite color? I mean, things like that. Like, you might put together a movie treatment. And then we worked with the dialogue writer who brought those characters to life. So as far as, like, merging the action and the cutscenes, that was a goal of our creative director, Wright Bagwell. He's was very adamant at not wanting to take the player out of the action at any point. And, you know, we agreed that, hey, you know what? It's a lot cooler to be able to pick things up in the middle of a cutscene if I get bored with what they're talking about versus feeling limited or locked down when you go to letterbox and you take away complete control from the player. I mean, speaking as a gamer myself, it's great to be able to, even if I'm just moving the camera around during a cutscene, it feels so much more liberating and engaging than just watching, you know, a linear piece of media like a movie. Not to say that that doesn't work for, there's a lot of great games that use that approach, but in Extraction, we wanted you to feel like you were in the middle of the shit. And by, you know, taking you out of it to show you a movie just didn't feel right and didn't make sense for our game. So we really kind of created what, you know, this whole guided first person experience that I've been talking up. And that was all done through, you know, the beginning, having a story, figuring out the way we were going to tell it, making sure that we were going to keep the player engaged, making sure we weren't going to pull them away from the game, you know, really just kind of, as I said, just putting them in the middle and in the place that the game is.
Now, the only real waggle control in the game is used for, one, your glow worm,
yep,
which is a glow stick to illuminate dark areas for those who don't know about the glow worm, and to be released once grasped by a necromorph.
Yeah, and our don't forget our rock saw.
So oh, and the rock saw.
You use the rock saw to hack through corruption barriers and knock back enemies.
Yes.
But yeah, we really did focus on not wanting to have gimmicky waggle controls. You know, it's just for, you know, I play a lot of games on a lot of different consoles, and one of the things with the Wii, again, this comes from experience being a gamer and just playing the games. There's two things that can kind of turn you off of a game. One is, if you have to kind of keep your arm extended for too long because you just kind of get strain and stress and you wind up, you know, not being able to play for very long. And the other is just having these kind of, you know, abstract things that you're doing, like drawing shapes or just shaking wildly. Those things kind of tend to not only look goofy, but they don't make sense with what you're doing all the time. You know, I don't want to call out any particular games, but there have been plenty of times where, you know, oh, I do this and this and it's a back suplex. Really? That's, you know, not that I'm a wrestler, but that doesn't make sense to me. So again, you know, Wright Bagwell, you know, really, really wanted to make sure anything we asked you to do with the Wii remote and the nunchuck was an analog to a real world action. So, you know, like changing, you know, the orientation of your Wii remote, when you rolled it over 90 degrees, you got the alt fire. Well, you know, we kind of kidded around and said, well, hey, it's kind of like gangster style, you know, you're shooting your gun sideways. So that kind of made sense. And, you know, the glow worm makes sense because a glow stick or, you know, something like that, it would make sense that you would kind of shake it to use it. And then again, the rock saw, you know, it makes sense that you're doing a hacking motion, you know. And then the grapple, you're struggling to get away, and it's kind of what you wind up doing with the Wii remote. So it was very, very important to us to have kind of that analog, and it all loops back to the big overarching theme of the franchise, which is real space, real terror, trying to retain, you know, as much realism as we could with the game.
Okay, well, I can't help but ask. I have to ask this question. The in-game engine runs so well and looks so good. Is a third-person, over-the-shoulder style Dead Space installment technically achievable on the Wii?
You know, I think you could do it. I think you could. I think it would take, you know, again, it's just about going in with that plan and being able to execute on that plan. I don't see why it's not possible. I think you know, visual fidelity wise, maybe it's not quite as nice looking. I mean, you might need to make some compromises here or there, but I think, you know, you look at Zelda, you look at RE4 on the Wii, they were able to do it. You know, I think with some of those games, you know, honestly, like RE4, right? Fantastic, love it, had it on my GameCube, bought it on the Wii, you know, but that game, you know, if you total up all the development time, that's like 6 years of time to make that game. You know, it took them a good 4 years just to get it out on the GameCube, and it didn't come out day one on the Wii, right? It took a while for them just to map the controls over. So, you know, is it possible? Yeah, I think it would have taken us a lot longer to do. And, you know, that wasn't kind of the goal with this. We wanted to get a game out so that the people on the Wii could experience what Dead Space was and kind of get into the story. So I don't think it's out of the question. I think it's possible. As I said, you know, other people have done it. But, you know, it takes time and it takes a good plan going in. And so, yeah, I mean, there's my answer.
All right. How about what components, if any, were cut from the final version of Extraction?
Well, there were, you know, it's a good question. I mean, every time you're making a game, there's going to be things that you're going to have to kind of scale back or scope to kind of get the overall quality there. You know, our approach is we wanted to have everything as high quality as possible. And that meant, you know, really evaluating everything throughout the game. And if we felt like something was kind of going to be 80% there, well, you know what? It didn't belong in the game. Everything needed to feel 100% complete and at high quality, you know, to really, you know, pay off for the users and the gamers that are playing the game. So there were a couple little things that we changed. We had maybe one more zero-G section that we didn't include. And we had the idea and concept of a specific boss that we kind of changed into a different type of boss. But, you know, aside from that, that was really about it. We trimmed back a little bit on the dialogue because that takes a lot of time to get that in there with the facial and everything. But that was about it. We were pretty good. I mean, our development director, David Yee, did a really good job of kind of continually reminding us that we couldn't have everything. So that really allowed us to focus in on the things that were important and get the game done on time. So, you know, he did a great job. And again, as did the folks at Eurocom, and really, like, you know, doing that analysis of, you know, quantity versus quality. Well, for any visceral product, it's about quality first and foremost. And so those were the concessions, and we had to do a little bit of pruning. But in the end, we think it made for a stronger game.
Well, one of the things that the gamesmen are really high on, and this is something that we stress a lot on our show, is voting with your gaming dollar. Can you explain to the listeners what casting this vote means from a development standpoint?
Well, I like the gamesmen for that. yeah, it means a lot because, you know, when you think about it, that's how we know people want more of something. If people are buying the mature games, you know, going back to your earlier question, then that tells, you know, the studio, hey, we should keep doing it. There's a reason to spend, you know, the large sums of money to produce these games because fans want it and they appreciate it and they want to experience more of that. And so voting with your dollar, as you say, is a crucial component. You know, if the sales are there and it justifies doing, you know, more good stuff in the DS universe, then we're going to do it. But if they're not there, then it makes it difficult for, you know, executive producers to go out and get the support to deliver more games like that. So, you know, I'm really glad to hear you guys, you know, believe in that. And, you know, I do too. I mean, I buy a ridiculous amount of games every month. Not that I get to play through every one of them, but I'm doing that because I want to send that message that, hey, I support this type of game. I want more of this. And, you know, a lot of times people, they forget that, you know, it costs a lot of money to make these games, and getting the support from, you know, not only from guys like yourselves and media and everybody else, but ultimately it's the players, the gamers. We need them to vote, as you said, with their dollar and tell us, hey, we want more of this. It's really important.
Our listeners would kick me if I failed to ask about Extraction's appearance on the HBO show True Blood. How did that collaboration come about?
Well, that was super rad, actually.
I agree.
The folks at HBO, which, you know, we here at Visceral, we love the programming there. They've got some of the best shows on TV. They're just, you know, we've been talking to them about a bunch of different stuff, and it turned out that the True Blood guys were fans of the original game, and when they heard that we had, you know, a game coming out on the Wii, they were like, oh, wow, you know, we were going to give one of the characters a Wii. And it just was like this perfect storm. And Matt Bendett, our marketing lead, actually he took the ball and ran with that and made that happen. And it was a pleasant surprise, to say the least, when we heard they were interested, and extremely flattering, because that show is completely awesome and that network's completely awesome. So it was very, very cool. And it really was just like this nice organic thing where it was like, hey, we love your stuff, they love our stuff. And it just, it was awesome. You know, there was, it was just a very organic and cool thing.
We read the news story last week that development of Dead Space 2 would commence in roughly 2 months or so. Will that consist of Dante's Inferno and Extraction teams?
Well, I can't really talk too much about the future right now. But you know, hey, you know, we'll see. We'll see soon.
Well, how about what go-to game, if any, did the Extraction team play to unwind?
Oh wow, that's a good one. Shoot, well, I know Wright, you know, traveling so much, Wright was playing Icarium, which is like a browser-based game where you're basically like building a city and kind of attacking guys, and it's kind of a browser thing. I know he was playing a lot of that, and you know, I was playing anything from what is it, Out of the Park Baseball on my laptop, which was fun. I played a lot of stuff over the course of it. I was playing Persona 4 for a while. I was playing Resident Evil 5. You know, I was lots of stuff on my PSP with all the travel. You know, I was on MLB 09, which I'm a big baseball guy. Was playing that a ton. God of War, Chains of Olympus. World Ends With You on my DS. Final Fantasy Tactics. A2 on my DS. I just, you know, I'm rolling around with like multiple handhelds at every moment. So those are some of the things I was digging into. And I know that Sharif, one of the other producers, huge Gears of War 2 guy, and you know, he was bringing his, funny enough, he was bringing his 360 back and forth whenever he had to travel, which I always gave him the business about, because you know, we're out there in England, and he's trying to hook it up, and at one point he thought he blew it up, and that was pretty funny. And then, you know, other Wii games, you know, obviously we're looking at great stuff like, you know, Overkill and Chronicles and, you know, all those good games too.
Last question. Dead Space is quickly becoming more than just new intellectual property. It is on its way to being iconic with an animated movie, motion comics, a prequel on the Wii, and a much talked about film adaptation. Can you give us any little tiny hints of things to come for the franchise?
Well, it's already out, but we have our Isaac Clarke action figure, which comes in two flavors. There was the exclusive Unitologist costume, and we also just released kind of him in his standard engineer suit. We've got that coming, and you know, there could be a lot more of what you just talked about, but I can't really say too much about that stuff.
Well, again, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show.
Hey, I appreciate it, and I really like... really like what you're doing, and again, you know, anything we can do at Visceral to support you guys and you know, ultimately get a message out to the gamers, because without their support and their feedback, I mean, we're reading our forums at deadspace.ea.com, we're looking at our Twitter feed, we really want to be interactive with the people that support and play our games, and you know, you guys are a great extension that allows us to even get out to more people. So thank you for your time and your interest in the franchise.
Well, I think that Enthusiast Press has a lot to do with it now. A lot more grassroots things than it used to be.
It totally does. I'm reading all kinds of forums. I'm looking at all websites. I'm looking at listening to podcasts. And yeah, I mean, without guys like yourself doing what you're doing, I don't think we'd be in such a great position right now with such a strong following and franchise. So again, thank you very much. And you know, other people out there that are doing the same thing, keep it up, because it keeps, you know, the gaming community thriving. It keeps us all connected. And it gives people a little insight into what we do, and then vice versa. It lets us know what people want to see in the games and what people are interested in. And so it's a great, you know, kind of thing, and keep doing it.
Well, hopefully we can talk with you again when Dead Space 2 comes a little closer to release, possibly. Also, really fast, I'd like to give a very special thanks to EA PR coordinator Melissa Ojeda and George Martinez from the EA IT for making this interview possible. Do you have any closing comments, Steve?
No, I just, again, just thank you very much and keep doing what you're doing. And people out there, you know, try out Dead Space Extraction. You know, like you were saying, like, vote with your dollar. Tell us that you want more mature games on the Wii. And you know, please let us know what you're interested in, and keep posting and keep tweeting, and let's stay connected, because without the gamers, you know, who's going to play the games?
Sounds good to me. It seems like it's time to send this special edition to the time capsule for posterity. So, on behalf of executive producer Steve Papoutsis, I am Lifelike, we are the Gamesmen, and until next time, we ask...
What role will you play?
Satisfied with the podcast, please return any portion for a full refund.